Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to another episode of Can We Be Real? We're here this morning and we're excited because we're dealing with some heart matters. You're listening to Carl White and I am Help Somebody. We've got on the line Dr. Gabe Crenshaw, and he's going to tell us something about heart matters. Dr. Gabe Crenshaw is a published professor and a contributing psychologist. He tells us about life stuff and how to get our mind together, and speaking about love and self-love and how to follow your heart, maybe even to make a miracle, make some success, use hey. Wisdom and develop your power. Good morning to you, Dr. Gabe.
Hey, Carl, how are you, man? It's great, great, great. Congratulations on your show. It's great to be here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for joining us, man. I tell you, it's been so long since I talked to you.
Oh, no, we go way back. I'm going to tell everybody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's good to have you, and thank you for taking time from your busy schedule. I know I see your mental minutes that you put up for everybody to kind of get their mornings together with your cup of coffee. Well, I got my coffee.
Right.
And you want to share with us a little bit about your mental minutes and where people can find those.
Yeah, you know, the mental minute really was sort of born out of, you know, kind of my routine of trial and error of starting my day, being in touch with myself and the universe and God and all of that, and what it's like when I just wake up and get out of bed and start the day without any of that. And I found it makes an incredible difference in my life. If I can just take what sometimes really comes down to just a few minutes to find the center to start the day, it's that whether people call it positive affirmation, some people call it prayer, some people call it meditation, whatever it is where when the world is too much with you or before the world starts moving, you actually move closer to your center. So that your day is enhanced, and I think it just sets the tone and the stage for the whole day. And that's really where it was born out of. And I was walking around my lake and thought, you know, I should kind of share this with the rest of the world.
Right, 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 right.
I did a videotape, my God, the social media is unbelievable. I did a videotape. It was 59 seconds, Carl, you know.
Yes.
Posted it up on Facebook, and bam, it resonated with people. It ended up being hundreds of people, and we're at episode 14 now.
Wow.
And now it's sort of it's moving with my life. As I learn, I put it out there. You know, my lessons become the world's lessons, and what's happening is now the world's lessons are becoming my lessons, and we're about to open it up even more so to people to share their own. Today's Mental Minute, which is up on Facebook.com.
Yes.
/ Ask Dr. Gabe. It's on Twitter. I call it Tweetspiration. And today's actually is Post Your Favorite Mental Minute. So we'll see what we get.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds exciting and really a good thing, because I think there's a new mental vibration and awareness in the country.
Yeah.
And the importance of self-love kind of is embedded in that, even for those that, you know, say that the to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, but it's implied that you love yourself. So talk to us a little bit about self-love and why is it so important?
Well, you know, it's impossible to give to the world, which is utterly impossible. And you have to find the center of who you are. And I think we, in a world where many people, they don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't love yourself. You don't even like yourself. And we go crashing into each other with everything but love.
Wow.
But at the same time, we're crashing because we're longing for that emotional warmth. Everybody's longing to be touched. But when you move, when there's a world and people move in it without love, then it becomes aggression. And I believe
mm-hmm.
this is really where we see a lot of the social ills, domestic violence, all kinds of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. It's because people have forgotten who they are, how to love, don't know how to love, and have no love from within. Well, let me say this, Carl.
Yeah.
It is there. People are just asleep to it, if that makes sense. It's like, what kind of God would create you without it?
Right.
People just don't know how to access it, because we do live in a world where, in order to get love, we learn from an early age that we must do something. We must become something. We clean our rooms, we're good kids. You get
right.
love. We do our homework. We're all these things that the world says you need to be. We come in first place. We get more love than we do if we come in second place. Runners up,
sure.
sort of thing, you know. And we live in a world where competition and all those things sort of substitutes for love. And if you don't learn that I don't have to do anything, I don't have to be anything, because I am, because I exist, because I was created, that's all that's necessary for me to love myself and to be loved in return.
You know, that's really powerful, and it allows us to kind of deal with our core of who we are at the center of our being. But so many people, you know, they say, man, I expressed my love and I got hurt, and I'm not going down that road because I don't want to get hurt again. And so for those that kind of, you know, looking at this thing and saying, man, I may not make it because, you know, they hurt me once, and I heard what they said. You know, shame on you if they hurt you once, or it could be an accident if they hurt you once, and shame on you if they hurt you twice. And so what do you say about those that, you know, have been misused, abused, or brokenhearted?
Well, I think that's actually where you find where love can actually be the strongest. There's nothing beautiful about a loveless world, and I think the greatest thing that we can do is to love and be loved.
Mm-hmm.
When you are hurt, the idea that you can feel or you have the capacity to love supersedes whether or not you're hurt by it. Because love didn't hurt you, right?
Right.
The person did.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learned from an early age, we actually call it a maladaptive schema. And that is the way that you come to know yourself through an experience. So if I'm learning that when you hurt me, love sucks, then after a point, I'm not going to love anymore.
Right.
And I'm going to start to not only not love, I'm going to start to hurt because I need some revenge. I need some retribution. See, all these things are anything but love. Because now I think you did it to me, so I've got to go do it to someone else.
Right.
Because we are hurt, and we think getting our self-power back it involves hurting other people, because then that makes me feel powerful, and I'm no longer the victim. But you are the victim. Perpetrators are the biggest victims.
Mm.
The biggest victims. And that's
mm-hmm.
across the board.
It's amazing, though, that, you know, some people, they get to a point and they say, you know, hurt people, and they get kind of stuck into this, you know, we're socialized to be conformists, and, you know, like you were talking about, as far as educational attainment, you know, we pass all the tests, and professionally,
right.
I get the job, I do the job, I do the right thing, or socially, I fit in, you know, I follow the social cultural mores and standards, and even in religion, I'm a good little boy, and so, but then I feel stifled. So can you speak to some of this rigid conformity
mm-hmm.
and how it affects our creativity?
Oh wow, geez, man, where do we begin? As a kid, we learn color in between the lines. You color outside the lines, you're wrong. It's
yes.
bad. Poor grade. You can't follow directions. You know, you're a nonconformist. You're a renegade. These, again, are maladaptive schemas, and they're from a behaviorist perspective. And get that, Carl, behaviorist perspective. There's a way of being.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we have set a gold standard in the world that says, when you reach this, when you attain this, when you do it this way, you are
right.
correct. You
mm-hmm.
are right. You have self-worth. You deserve to move to the next level. You will be loved. You will be revered. You will be respected, etc. All the great attributes that we all want.
Sure.
When you don't do it that way, when you step outside of the lines, you're a bad boy. You're a bad little girl. You don't listen. We don't say you don't conform. We stress individuality. We just dress up in uniform to do it.
So long as you don't push the lines too much.
Yeah. You know? And what it does is it then stifles creativity, because I can't go on the road less traveled, much less blaze another trail.
Oh, sure.
Because I'll be ridiculed, I'll be made fun of. And who wants to be in a world where you feel like you have the missing chromosome, where people are laughing at you, making fun of you, making fun of what would be your brilliance and your creativity? My God, it takes an incredible amount of personal strength to forge ahead and blaze a new trail. I mean, look at our president. Look at the first lady. Look at the children.
Yeah.
This is blazing. This is brand new territory. Look at Apple, Steve Jobs. Look
sure.
at Oprah Winfrey. You know, I mean, you can look at your own life. I'm sure even in your own life, you see where you've blazed trails and you've done something that was meaningful that initially didn't start out that way. And then once it begins to serve the public, and it always will, our creativity, when left unchecked by the world, and we are allowed to move in the way and manner in which we were created, it will always serve the world, which says to me that there's an enemy out there, an evilness of our souls, that wants to keep us from bright light of serving the world. It doesn't necessarily mean you on the stage of fame. I'm not saying that. But there's a bright light that only shines when you are doing what you were created to do.
Wow. I was watching a movie yesterday and the line came out of it. Your soul always finds a way home.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that innate, inborn individuality that we have, how does one go about connecting with it's enough to be who I am?
Oof. You know, Carl, some days I think I know the answer, and some days I don't.
That's honest. That and see, that's what's missing in our world, you know, that honesty.
Yeah.
Because I can't look weak, man.
Oh yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. I've got three daughters. I got a wife, man. I got to. And so I throw my rugged individualism and this rigid pride that blocks inner victory.
That's good, too. I wish I had said that, actually.
Well, this is being recorded, and we're going to archive it, and so people can always go. Look, you can find Dr. Gabe Crenshaw on Facebook. And
yes.
You can find me on Facebook, too. Look for Dr. Gabe Crenshaw on Facebook, and I'm Help Somebody. I'm Carl White. I'm glad to be here today. So tell us a little bit more about being thoughtful and what it is to show that you care, you're concerned, and being considerate of people. These are often looked upon as weak things, but just like men have tear glands and it's not popular to use them. Why in the heck, you know, why should we care? Why?
Well, you know what, I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to be in a world where there is an absence of complete care and respect and a sense of emotional, psychological warmth and love for your fellow man. You think of all the tragedies that we experience now, with, you know, serial killers, with domestic violence, people who walk down an aisle, share their love and are committed to each other, and 5 years later they kill each other.
Mm.
And these are people who are in love. So could you imagine starting out with no love, no respect, no sense of value for the other person? And so I think that it really comes down to, well, there are only two dramas in the world, and two emotions, really, and that's love and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And either walking toward love and away from fear,
mm-hmm.
or you are walking toward fear and, of course, away from love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, Carl is going to beat me up. Although,
right.
you know, I see your muscles and all that, you know, so, you know, maybe you could, but, you know, I
can't
give you your money.
Right.
But it's more than that. It's the jealousy is fear. I'm afraid that if you love me, then and you say you love this other person, then there's not enough love for me. You're going
right.
to take some of your love away from me to love this other person. That's what resentment is. It's all fear-based. You know, I'm afraid that, you know, somehow you're going to shine brighter than me. They're going to like you more than me. And I resent you for that because you shouldn't be so brilliant so I could shine brighter. That's just silly. But I get it. Competition is all based in fear, which makes it very difficult to embrace each other because I'm afraid that if I embrace you, I will diminish me.
Wow. Now, I think really because one of the things that causes that competitive nature to overwhelm is that when we're in touch with who we are at the core, then we realize there's no competition for me to be myself.
Right. Right.
And it falls into those values that what God has for me is for me.
Right.
And I can validate your success. Man, I can't sing like, you know, Michael Jackson or dance like him, but man, I can applaud the man when he's, you know, regaled as the world's greatest entertainer.
Right. Yeah.
Instead of feeling like, well, man, you know, he ain't doing nothing. I got to put him in his place. And
right.
It's kind of funny that I think the process and where you were talking about, I saw one of your minutes, I believe it was from yesterday, and you were at Santa Monica Beach, this one, and you were speaking about the waves of life, waves of life, and how to trust the foundation. And it would not be a miracle if you could do it.
Talk
to us about those waves of life that are coming.
Man, I'm going to tell you something, Carl. And I want all your listeners out there, really, you can go to YouTube, and it's GF Hunter, Facebook.com/AskDrGabe, and check out these mental minutes. It is my gift to the world.
Yeah.
This isn't about the waves and that sort of thing. This was Gabe's experience. You feel me?
Right.
I felt at times where the waves would come crashing in on me, the waves of life, hurt, pain, disappointment, anger, depression.
Yeah.
That leads to, you know, all kind of stuff, you know, get stuck. But
right.
Anyway, we'll talk about that. But, you know, that kind of thing. And I felt it was going to completely overtake me. And then Carl, something just jolted me and was like, it will never overtake you. And I was out at the beach, and I saw the waves coming in inland, but there are these rocks, and then just the sand. And I went, how is it that as strong as this tidal wave is, it does not come and flood the entire earth?
Right.
There is something that holds it back. Some people say it's the power of God, it's nature, whatever you want to call it. It's something bigger than me, it's bigger than you, and any listener who's listening. Then I thought that was a metaphor for my life. As strong as the wave of disappointment, you didn't get the job, you didn't get the girl, you didn't get the man, you didn't get the opportunity, you didn't get the car, you didn't get the house, your kids are tripping, your wife, who the hell is she? I don't know who this woman is. And so all of a sudden you feel so overtaken, but you know, it's like stop and realize this is a moment for you to sit back and watch how the waves will come in. But it will be the strength that will make you stronger. Any more than the waves are going to come and flood the earth, the waves of your life are not going to come and overtake you to the degree where you think you are rendered emotionally and psychologically paralyzed and can do nothing. It's not that way at all. But you have to believe that there's a power greater than you that is stronger than the wave. You know why? Because that power created the wave, but it also created you.
Nothing
that can overtake you. But in fact, embrace it. You need that crash. Oh my God. Ask the rocks.
Me and Smiley were like,
you know?
Yeah.
Do they need the crash?
Wow.
Sure they need it. It makes you feel alive.
Sure. And one of the things that I think is so important and you brought up was that the foundation and the core of where we are, to know that, yes, the waves of life coming, the loss, the disappointment, what has happened, but all of those things, and they tend to cause us some stress. We've got a caller on the line, and this caller, caller, are you there? 424, are you there? Did you have a question for Dr. Gabe today?
Well,
looks like she's busy. We'll try her again later. We've got another caller, area code 513. Are you there?
Yes.
And you had a question for Dr. Gabe this morning?
Not a question. I just wanted to tell Dr. Gabe that I enjoy his mental minute and to continue the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What's your name?
It's Sherry.
Sherry, thank you very much. Actually, you know, I was telling Carl today's mental minute is, you know, people to post their favorite one. I wonder, do you have one you can share with the world, actually, right now?
I like the one that you were on the beach, reflecting, and it makes me realize I need to take the time and take the minute to reflect sometimes and just take that moment to collect my thoughts. So I enjoyed that one.
Wow, thank you. Carl, now we were just talking about that, huh?
Yeah, we were, and it's so important too that self-care is so necessary to know that what it is that is going on the outside is not anything compared to the stuff that's going on the inside.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that we don't. One of the things that they teach us at the gym how to exercise our body. And we go to work, and they teach us how to advance in society and build a wealth, and investors teach us how to invest our money, and business people teach us how to negotiate business. But where do we really get the stuff to exercise and nurture our mind?
Carl, I believe it actually comes from within. You know, the mental minute is just in line to do that for you. It serves you in that you go inward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting that you go inward to the base part of yourself, what Freud would call the id, where all the instinctual, aggression, sexual, bad stuff is. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but you know what I mean, in left unchecked. I'm talking about the deepest part of who you are, that level of creative force, that blinding flash of creativity that created you. That is innocent. That is pure.
Mm-hmm.
We forget to live there. Because we get so busy trying to prove our worth that we forget there's nothing that we need to do. It's already there. And so rather than going inward to pay attention and listen.
Sure.
Pay attention and listen. That's where you find the answers. It really is in the stillness. I mean, think about it. The stillness of nature. The stillness of that's why the beach is important to me. The waves. Even though there is a sound that the tidal waves give me, it's still a very still, quiet voice. It calms, it agrees with my spirit. It teaches me patience. Let me tell you something. You can't be out at the beach, or you can't be in a vast forest and looking up at things that are taller than you, stronger than you, not designed or created by you, but designed and created for you, and not be overcome with a level of gratitude and a sense of awness that will allow you to tap into that inner brilliance and bring forth the exact same kind of creativity and brilliance and light that you are experiencing from nature in and of itself. Because, you know, God created that.
Sure.
It's for us. And if we believe that you're created in the image of God, I don't know anything that's more beautiful, more wise, more wisdom, more potent than that. And we forget that we are not just my eyes, my ears, my arms, my legs. I'm not what people did to me.
Sure.
He created me to be.
Hey, that's really good. And for some people beginning out, and they kind of been trapped in that journey that hasn't given them the confirmation that they're seeking, they don't feel connected with their true self, their authenticity. And they're beginning to hear this stuff, and it's starting to, you know, those wheels are turning, and they're saying, man, well, maybe I need to take this step on the road less traveled, and I want to walk this path. And what are some practical things a person can do? You know, listening to the Mental Minute is one thing, but how about getting a partner or actually seeking professional help? What are your thoughts of those?
Well, I'll tell you this. When you start asking the questions, step one, something feels like it's missing, you're wanting more, step two. The way to go about getting it, turn inward. And then for some, it is about seeking professional help, guidance. You got to be careful where you go now.
Mm-hmm.
Not every psychologist is a good psychologist any more than every church is a good church.
Right.
But this is why, Carl, I believe it's important initially to turn inward first. Get alone with yourself. Turn off the voices. Turn off the noise. People go, well, how do I do that? It's so loud in my head that
wow.
I try to turn it off, but I can't. And I just go, stop and just be. When you first do it, I'm going to tell you, whether meditation doesn't work for everybody, but stillness and quiet will. For some people, it's so deafening that they can't. That noise is louder than the noise of the world. I get that too, and the irony of it. But if you're willing to really sit and do the work, then you will sit, and the noises will come, but you keep sitting.
Right.
Your mind will wander, keep sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually, once all the distractions have removed themselves, you're saying to the world, to the universe, I'm not going to get up until the voices are quieted. You turn off Facebook for a minute.
Sure.
Turn off your Ringer for a minute, because those are voices that will impact you negatively because you're looking outside of yourself for everything. There's something called internal locus of control.
Mm-hmm.
External locus of control. Internal locus of control is the idea, well, let me do external first. External locus of control is the idea that everything that happens outside of me controls me. That essentially I am a victim to everything that happens outside. And if only this went better and this went better, then my life would be better.
Sure.
You spend all your life trying to control people, trying to control your wife, your husband, your children, your boss, your job, the people driving next to you on the freeway. And now you've got to be an SOB because you couldn't control him. He wanted to get over and you didn't want him to.
Right.
And so then there's the internal locus of control. And that says that I decide what will piss me off.
Sure.
I decide what gets me happy, what gets me off, etc. And when you tap more into that, then it becomes clear where to go. Literally, you will be moved and led to a church or led to a particular theoretical orientation. And if it doesn't come that way, then take the next logical step. There's a church on the corner. Go.
Right.
There's a doctor in the tower building downtown across the street from your job. Just go and make an appointment. There's a friend who's been trying to reach out to you. Now pick up the phone and give them a call.
Wow, Dr. Gabe, we're down to the last 90 seconds.
Wow.
And this 30 minutes has went by extremely fast. I tell you, we've got to pick up when we come back again, maybe another day when you can fit us in on Can You Be
Thanks.
Real. Greatly appreciate you being here. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Carl.
Hey, man, I appreciate you. And my thing is to help somebody, and hopefully we provided some solutions. Remember, you can find Dr. Gabe on Facebook.com and look for Gabriel Crenshaw or Dr. Gabe and his mental minute is also on YouTube.
Yeah, and also AskDrGabe.com, the website.
And AskDrGabe.com.
Yes.
Well, this is Help Somebody, and we're signing off. Follow your dream. Lay it on the line. What have you got to lose? Because if it doesn't work and you lay your dream on the line, then the worst thing can happen is that you end up right where you are right now. So live your life. Keep working it. Keep pressing it. And knowing it's all going to come together for good. We appreciate you. Go visit the beach. Go internal. God gave you eyes to see without, but he gave you a mind to ponder things so that you can gain insight to see within. And even as Jesus, he pointed us in the right direction. He said, the kingdom of God is within. It's not preached too much because we're supposed to follow what they say. But listen to your own heart. Listen to your own mind. Step out on faith. Chew on courage. And know that Help Somebody is here for you. You can follow me on Facebook, or on Twitter. God bless you.